Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on out there?
What is going on out there? I don't know, it's out early there. In the morning, just as day is dawning. Been watching a lot of Ports from Pat, Chris. Don't mind admitting, for some reason my YouTube algorithm is absolutely filled with kids stuff like the Wiggles and Rah Rah the Noisy Lion, and also I've been watching a bit of Puss in Pat, and there's like two sort of versions I've noticed of Puss in Pat. There's a TV show about a postman, if you're unfamiliar. Yeah, I mean,
I've actually met him in real life.
You've not met Puss in Pat, Chris.
I've met the man that not only wrote Postman Pat, but was the narrator and did all the voices. Yeah. His name was John Cunliffe. He's dead now, I think. But I met him when I was a kid up in Yorkshire because he lived next door to our family friend. He was the same guy that did Rosie and Jim, another show. He was called like Fizz Gong or something. And I met him and he had the biggest beard I've ever seen. And a beard comprised of money and dreams from all the books and all the TV shows he managed to sell.
But that's awesome.
Postman Pat, the stories were always very threadbare, weren't they? I don't really remember what happened in Postman
Chris,
Pat. He delivered a letter.
Chris, I'm not being funny. Loads of things happened in the Postman Pat I watched recently. His mate with the moustache, I forget his name, he was trying to deliver some sand.
Wait, what is Postman Pat? For people that don't know, how would you describe Postman Pat?
He's a postman. He's a post person.
He's a postman.
He delivers mail. There'll be a knock, a ring, letters through your door, and that's his entire role in this sorry story. That's part of the song at the start. Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his black and white cat. He's got a black and white cat called Jess. Early in the morning, just as day's dawning, he picks up all the packages in his van. Everybody knows his bright red van. All the people smile when they see him. Maybe you can never be sure. There'll be a knock, ring, letters through your door. There'll be a knock, ring, letters through your door. I used to think it was there'll be a knock, ring, letters through your door, like let us through your door, like the puzzle that was to be through your door. Chilling, absolutely chilling. Big fan of that one as a kid. But the episode I just watched was a man, his friend, I forget his name, he's got some sand, something goes wrong with his truck, all the sand falls off his truck. At the same time, a family are trying to enjoy the beach. They want to enjoy the beach, but they can't get to the beach because it's miles away. They really want to go to the beach, and you can see how these two situations could wonderfully sort of mash together. They end up enjoying the beach in the middle of Greendale, so it's all good. So,
wow.
Oh yeah, and then a gecko goes missing. Somebody was getting a gecko delivered, which is and then they went missing. So I love geckos. I love Puss in Pat. I love everything about the man. And I used to have a when I was a kid. I used to have a Puss in Pat. He's got a very big, long nose, Puss in Pat. And
he does.
For some fucking reason, the toy Puss in Pat I had. I'd sort of chewed off its nose.
Oh my god.
And it just had a big metal spike where the nose was. It was so unnecessarily spiky and pointy. The 80s.
Jeez, chewing on a Postman Pat toy. What a weird, mundane sort of story, isn't it? A man who posts letters through a door and yet somehow they carve a narrative out of it. You've got to take your hat off to them, to British kids' TV.
Well, really then it got updated, and some of the ones on YouTube are like new ones, because before you'd have like these weird kind of AI upscaled versions of the original Puss and Pats, which so everything looks a bit greasy and weird. But the new ones, he's got a helicopter, he's got a mobile phone, he's got an off-road sort of ATV vehicle. I realise ATV vehicle is it's AT vehicle, isn't it, I suppose? All-terrain vehicle. People get very upset when you say pin number or pin code, or you know what I mean. You know what I mean, guys. You know what I mean.
Postman Pat turning up his Range Rover, crashing over the town folk. God, I mean, I didn't expect to spend my morning discussing Postman Pat, but
no.
I'm feeling very nostalgic.
I'll bite your nose off, Chris.
Why did you do it, Pete? Why? Yeah. I'm worried, though. I don't know if you've heard Connor post about the other day, but we're doing the Cyclothon 3, like the years before, on a bicycle. We did Hokkaido, we did Kyushu, and now we're about to cycle from Yamaguchi to Tokyo. 1,200 kilometres, 14 days.
Wow.
Fucking kill me. I mean, it's going to be terrifying, and I don't know how I'm going to cycle for 2 weeks, Pete. How am I going to do it? What will I consume to make this possible?
Well, I mean, we know what you'll consume, fried chicken and energy gels. But
it is true. It is true.
But and never combine the two on the same plate, for crying out loud. I think what is delicious for the people watching, the cheerleaders on the sidelines, is that Christopher will indeed be reaping what he sowed with Connor, punishing him for making him a little chilly willy boy in the forest, in a tent, and I think it's going to be beautiful. Just seeing a Welshman get his payback on an Englishman, and I think everyone in Wales will very much be up for that. So I cannot wait to see you cycling away. But those twin pistons have been doing a lot of work. What I like about YouTube's probably seen as being this quite unhealthy pastime, with all of the pitfalls that a sedentary lifestyle has. But it seems that, like, you hanging out with other YouTubers, you snowboard more, you go off trail more, you bike more. So, it's all good. It's been excellent for you, really.
It has. I suppose it's been a positive influence. I hate to admit that doing these things is good. Like, I've learned that the videos I'm sort of the most happy to release are usually the tightly scripted videos, sat here, talking about something, being comedic or whatever, being thick and fast with stuff. But the videos,
and then
you
artwork wrong, and nobody watches it.
And nobody watches it. I kind of had that problem with a recent video, actually. It came out 10 days ago. The video tanked. It was the worst performing video. Changed the thumbnail. Now it's doing extremely well. And you've got to really care about the thumbnail. But those videos do well. But like the ones that you remember, and the stuff you learn, like the older you get, that the most important thing is just like memories, having good memories of stuff, and being out there doing stuff on the road, cycling relentlessly. I'll treasure that, hopefully. I mean, famously, the second cyclothon last year, which kicked off about a year ago, it didn't go as nicely as we'd have liked, because the weather, the first 2-3 days, it was amazing. I was having fun. We were having a laugh, and it was good. And then the chain on the bike broke, and then it rained harder than anything ever for like 3 days. And we were just cycling relentlessly through this rain. The weather was awful. And we were just both quite depressed. And I famously just listened to my Stalin audiobook to get through it. Just sitting listening to Stalin.
Hello, I'm Joseph Stalin, and here is Harry Potter. And the
well, it wasn't written by Stalin. It wasn't like Stalin's fucking first person. I was kind of like, I need to listen to something horrible. So I was like, let's listen to what Stalin did. Yeah. And it was like young Stalin, where he's had like this. He had a really weird life, but he ended up in like a gulag.
I remember young Stalin. That was a big book in when I was doing my history at A level.
That's a cracker.
That was an absolute banger of a book. That I've got it on my shelf, and he was a handsome man back in the day. Handsome man.
He was a handsome man. He's from Georgia.
Handsome monster.
Then he turned into like a mafia boss, and then he got like arrested and thrown in like a Siberian prison for like 10 years or something. And I was listening to that while I was cycling, and I was like, Stalin killed all his friends when he got to power. And like I was cycling past the car with Pete, Ian, Paul sitting in it driving along. And my
first against the wall. This is my Siberian prison.
Periodically, the phone would connect to the car via Bluetooth. So I'd cycle past, and they're having fun in the car, and then the speaker would be like, Stalin killed all his favourite people in a shooting up against a wall. Like, they were like, what the fuck is this? And it was just, but it became a bit of a joke. But this time, I promise not to listen to a Stalin audio tape. I will listen to something far happier. The speeches of Winston Churchill.
From Stalin to a bit of Dua Lipa.
The thing is, though, when you're on a bike for 2 weeks, you know, it does get a bit boring. And you do need to listen to something. You need to do something. So yeah. I need to find an audio book that's... doesn't get in the way of the experience.
Right.
And hopefully the weather's in our favour. But yeah, it's going to be big. There are guests coming on it. We've got like Gant from Trash Taste. Good old Gant's coming. Pete, American Pete. Got PewDiePie. Felix is joining for a few days. There's Natsuki might be joining for a day as well. God forbid. Natsuki cycling on a bike for a day. I can't believe it's going to happen for a minute. Given the first time I saw him on a bike, he cycled for an hour. When he was supposed to join me for like a 7-hour cycle, and he gave up because he said he hurt his backside. He's like, I can't sit down, too painful, you go. And he made me cycle alone, so can't wait to see what he does on this one.
Is big boy grown up Ian going to be on? Ian must spend most of his time just inflating tyres on things. Trucks, bikes,
puncture repair kits.
Yeah.
He saved my bike when the chain went on the second one. He saved the day big time. We're going to release the video, finally, of the second cycle, like this week or next week. I think next week.
Oh, cool.
Only a year. It only took a year to put it out. Combination of my fault and the editor being really busy, Paul. But mostly my fault. And, I watched that over, and it was kind of cool to relive the magic from the second cycle. And you can see the tipping point halfway where we all just hate life. The first few days are really fun and happy, and everyone's having fun. And then, like, it's just the worst weather. It's like Noah's Ark on the road, and it's just awful. But, yeah, so keep an eye. It kicks off April 1st, and it goes to April 14th. So, and that's my birthday. If I get back in one piece, I can celebrate my birthday. Woohoo. We've got a story this week from Saku, who says, Hello, Chris Pete. I wanted to share with you a story my friend and I will never forget. I am a new ALT on the JET program placed in Tokushima on the island of Shikoku. Tokushima, lovely place, famously very much nothing to do. My first friend I made on the JET program, he ended up there and he left after 1 year. But I like it. When my friend from America came to visit me this past winter, we visited the infamous Kazurabashi Bridge in Ie Valley, which you might have seen, guys, in Wacky Weekend. It was the first Wacky Weekend with Connor. Yeah. Awful, terrifying bridge. And we were lucky to have the breathtaking view all to ourselves, no other tourists in sight. Afterwards, we visited the gift shop and stocked up on treats to snack on as we made our way to Nagoro Scarecrow Village. This is like the Scarecrow Village. For some context, a village is like dying. There's like three people left in a town of hundreds. And they have resorted to just making scarecrows that just are now the townsfolk. And it's really weird. When I went there on Wacky Weekend, we had like really bad weather. Again, rain. What is it with Connor? Why is it always fucking rain? We got to Nagoro Scarecrow Village and like the whole mountain was collapsing from rain and lightning. And you got these scarecrows and it's like a horror film. But I loved
it. It's not ideal, is it? I mean, it's the start of a horror film. No.
Really, and it's extremely remote in these mountains. Anyway, I spotted a bag of what looked to be individual wrapping pieces of sudachi, flavoured hard candy. Since Tokushima is known for its sudachi, and everything I had tried thus far had been excellent, I bought the bag without hesitation. Eager to dig into our snacks, I ripped open the bag of candy. We both popped one into our mouths. Almost instantly, I knew something was terribly wrong. The usual fizzy feeling on my tongue gave way to what could only be described as chemically bitter, chalky, and soapy taste. It became so intense that I had to spit out the remains of the sweet. Shocked, I looked over at my friend, who from their contorted face, I could tell, was suffering the same taste bud surprise. Completely flustered, we spent the next several minutes rinsing our mouths out with water, trying to rid ourselves of the terrible taste and texture. When we recovered, we took to Google to shed some light on what we'd just ingested. We discovered it wasn't candy at all, but in fact, Sudachi-scented dissolvable bath tablets. No!
Oh, no! That's a shame. That is a
we
shame.
We tried to erase this traumatic event from our memory, but the taste forever lingers whenever reading Sudachi from now on. While the bag was next to the food at the gift shop, I'll never know. But why did they put it there? Thank you for all the laughs over the years. All the best, Saku, the assuming idiot. His words, not mine. Oh dear, that sounds disgusting. Bath tablets.
I always think of... Do you remember the... I think it was like a real ale, Hobgoblin in England.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was... And the advert was like, basically, scared you'll taste something, lager boy. Just always think when someone's eating something strong. Scared you'll taste something, lager boy. That sounds like a horrible hand grenade. Salty. The thing about, like, soap is you always, like, whenever there's a delicious... strawberry flavoured or strawberry aromaed kind of like shower gel. I'm of advanced years, you know, I'm heading into middle age and I still cannot resist just having a little taste and see if it tastes of anything. It tastes of salt. It always just tastes of horrible salt. So there you go. Yeah.
Well, speaking of salt, things were very salty. In a classroom in Nagoya, when elementary schools got defrauded of ¥1 million, and that's how you segue into the news. The news that Pete Dolson will now bestow upon us. What's going on in Japan, Pete? Why did some Nagoya elementary students get caught defrauding classmates out of nearly ¥1 million, about $7,000? What a weird story.
It's bullying, I'm afraid. Nagoya Elementary students have been defrauding classmates. We talk a lot about how the older generation gets scammed by, like... you know, texts and Facebook messages and stuff like that. But it sounds like the kids are at it as well. In an elementary school in Nagoya, over the course of about a year, a boy managed to relieve himself of quite a lot of money. A boy in fifth grade was being teased by his classmates who accused him of being poor. While defending himself, he let it slip that he actually has access to ¥1 million. In cash saved up in his home, $6,700. Money saved up from pocket money and gifts from relatives. Shortly after, classmates began approaching him with things to sell.
Pocket money? Pocket
just
money?
Just random... Well, yeah,
who's
I mean,
who's
that
his
seems...
family? $7,000?
Fifth grade, I don't know. Do you not get, like, money with different milestones in your life, I guess, when you're a Ben? While defending himself, he let it slip that he had about ¥1 million in cash saved up his home. And shortly after, classmates began basically asking, do you want to buy... this tat that we've got. Over the course of a year, there were 8 transactions for items that the boy was told would increase in value over time. Items such as special custom-made solid gold replica medals, rare plastic money, convinced the boy to part with near enough $3,500. So it's by January of this year, the boy had lost pretty much all of his savings.
What the
$6,000.
Realizing so weird.
He talked to his father about it, basically saying, Dad, I've had a fucking nightmare here. The father then notified the police, who launched an investigation. And it's sad, really. I mean, there's the element of extortion to this, and the parents of two of the three of the boys who sold the items have apologised and repaid about $2,000 worth of money. So he's still down $4,000. The others have probably fled the country. The children are living high on the lamb, buying sweets and... all kinds of nonsense. It's a sad story.
That's awful.
You know when, like, stories are really depressing? This is, like, one level above that, I think. It's just all a big shame. I'm hoping he'll get his money back, though, because that sucks.
So he was being bullied of, and accused of being poor, so he went, no, I'm not poor, I've got $6,000, innit? And then...
God,
they were
I'd
like,
love $6,000. Chris, can you give me $6,000?
No.
Chris, I've got some... it's rare bottle. You like pop? A rare bottle top from England.
That have half
used
my
to
money.
Be on a Jamaican soda. Mmm. Chris, you've got a special pen used by Jimi Hendrix, the guitarist. Yeah, he's... It's a lovely pen. It's been nibbled, you can see, by
like
Jimi Hendrix's cat. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Pete always chews on his items that he has for some reason. He leaves his mark with his teeth, literally.
I'm a very nervous man.
So you chew the pen and you
reveal... A nasal hair trimmer!
Oh, my God.
By none other than Radovan Karadžić, the hated leader. Yeah, he did that. And you can have it for only 50 grand.
I don't understand, like... No, like he, you don't have this kind of money just laying around your house, though. Like, I got pocket money, which was, like, £1 as a kid. When I got, like, the rubbish little amounts of money, £5, whatever, as a kid, you kind of spent it straight away. You never saved it up. And you never had a million yen in your, like, as a 15-year-old. How old was he again? He's elementary, so he's probably, like, 14, 15.
School.
And he's got,
fifth
like,
grade.
A small...
What's that?
Oh, God. I don't have a clue, actually.
It's like
wait,
eight
that's really
something.
Young. That's really young. He's like eight or something.
Yeah.
Oh, nine.
What a shame.
But, like, that's why you don't let your kids have, like, a million yen when they're, like, not even 10 years old. Isn't that quite high risk? Like, that's quite risky. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kids don't have the best foresight with these kind of numbers. Like, if I was 8 years old and I had... £5,000 in my bedroom, I might be like, oh, can I buy like a car? Can I buy like an Xbox? Or can I just blow it all on rubbish? And I'd probably have to go to my parents first. The fact he had access to that kind of money is quite impressive, really, or a lack of oversight by his family. I'm not sure, but at least they got some of the money back. What a really weird situation, honestly. So some of the bullying in Japan. Is very
creative.
Odd. Creative.
But it's a real shame.
Awful stuff. But I guess he learned the value of money after this.
So he did.
And he learned back. He learned he could get it back. But I there was nothing... The school I worked, there was nothing ever of this calibre that I can recall. There was a kid who got his lunchbox taken quite a lot, and that led to some bad things happening. Bullying's a real problem. We've covered that, like, here before... And in the Abroad Japan book, I wrote a whole chapter on it. Like, bullying in Japanese schools is pretty bad in the sense that you've got, like, a more collectivist mindset in Japan. And when you're outside of the group, when you're not part of the sort of group, it's really exacerbated.
It's all,
you know. But, wow.
Tied into, like, a very big sort of don't complain kind of culture as well, which manifests this sort of thing.
Yeah. But I'm glad he got the money back. Cheeky fucking classmates, honestly. Sneaky bastards. They're going to be great con men one day, aren't they? Later on down the road. We're back to this moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions over in the fax machine.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in.
We got a message from Nick in Chelmsford, just up the road from me. Hello, Cromulent Chris and Pegnose Pete. I have just got back from my second Japan trip, spending a whole month travelling the north of the country, and needless to say, it was brilliant retracing the footsteps of a broad Japan non-stop north. My question's got nothing to do with that, though. Whilst out there, I had a bit of a revelation after a Japanese friend earnestly informed me that I'd gotten fat, that I need to adopt a much healthier lifestyle. As Chris has proven that even the temptation of famichiki on every street corner can be resisted, I want to ask a bit of advice. What would you two recommend as a sensible lifestyle change to help me shed the pounds? Hoping you're both well. Nick in Chelmsford. Any dieting tips, Chris?
Yeah.
Did you manage to shift anywhere?
Yeah, put your camera at a higher angle and you'll look thinner. Always put the camera at an elevated angle, it looks good for the jawline.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
That's all the
just
tips you
so
need.
Just get so busy you don't have time to drink beer anymore.
Which or eat.
Is certainly how I managed to shift a fucking stone before Christmas.
And anxiety. Oh, yeah. People keep saying I've lost weight, and I don't. Again, I don't know how this has happened.
It's your cool shirt arms. It's your arm shirt.
Yeah, it's have a tight shirt that makes your arm muscles look good, but make sure it's like spacious around the waist. I think the one thing I've done, I've been trying to work it out. Two things I've done. Number one, I try and walk about 10,000 steps every day, and that does help. Like, listen to your favourite Stalin audiobook.
Yeah.
Walking around.
Just famous dictators, yeah.
Or the Abroad Japan audiobook. A bit more light-hearted listening. But listen to something, walk around, and I think walking steps, it's not too hard, it's quite fun, but it's good for the mind, body and soul. Second thing is, I've been drinking lots of Yakult, weirdly. Why is that funny?
None of that is healthy, you insane bastard.
Yakult. Why is it not healthy?
It's just sugar and fucking yogurt, mate. What's wrong with you? You cannot put down any kind of health to Yakult. I could have had 100 guesses and wouldn't have thought what you would say there.
No. Listen, though. Like, it's not the normal Yakult. About a year ago, Yakult brought out Y1000. And it has, like,
Why
20 1000? Billion... The usual Yakult's got, like, 2 million or 2 billion strains of this bacteria. This one's got, like, 20 billion. Yeah. And they claim it actually does something, rather than the old one, which is just, like, sugar water. I don't know. I have it. I know Connor takes this stuff. And I don't know. I think it must have some effect on your gut bacteria. They say, like, it doesn't get through, that it's all killed in your stomach acid. But I think when you've got 20 billion... There's a good chance some of it gets through. I don't know.
The D-Day of Yakult, little fellas in your stomach.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a big surprise that, bearing in mind that, you know, obviously dairy's not a big thing out there, or certainly wasn't historically. The flavour of Yakult, like, you know, is quite big out there. There's a lot of drinks that taste like Yakult, and there's a lot of there's even like liqueurs and stuff that taste a bit like Yakult as well.
Like Yogurito, right?
Big fan of that. Kalpis is a big vibe. If you've ever had a big fantasy that you want to drink a big Yakult, have a Kalpis. It's delicious. There's Kalpis flavored the ice cream that I like. I'm obviously part of the Team Coolish generation. Very much enjoy that, which is just basically a foil packet of ice cream with a tube coming out of it like a Capri Sun. And so what's that? It's like a long Yakult with more bits in it.
For those of you watching on YouTube,
it's bigger than a Yakult, Chris. That's how they fitted it in.
It is bigger than Akio. Yeah, I'm holding it on video now for those of you listening in your cars. Stop the vehicle at the side of the road. Switch to YouTube. Yeah, it's called Yakult Y1000. It says on the side, like, it's good for stress and sleep. And the strain of bacteria is called the Shirota strain, which was, like, found by the founder of Yakult back in, like, the mid-1900s.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's done something. I don't know. I've always had, like... My stomach's been rubbish for years, probably because I eat so much Family Mart chicken. And it seems to have been better since having this stuff. I don't know. I think it does something. I don't know. Mm. If you take it, let me know. But I'm gonna drink it every day for like a few months and see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? There is a lot of sugar in it, though. There's no doubt about that.
I find it very hard to sort of... I never do running and stuff, but I play a bit of football. I got like... You know you're shit at football when the rest of the team played 90 minutes, 11 aside,
right.
At right back at the weekend. And you know you're bad at football when someone on the... they're looking for man of the match, right? And I had a pretty good game. You know, it rarely happens. Yeah. But you know you're bad at football when somebody says, I'm not going to lie, Pete was really good today. Why did you have to add, I'm not going to lie? Why does that sound... unbelievable to you. So yeah, it was so you know you're bad at football. But yeah, I play a bit of football here and there, but I just want to do something that I can, running's probably going to be the best thing for me.
Walk 10,000 steps a day.
Walk
10,000 steps.
I've got a couple of dogs, so yeah.
Get those steps done, and I promise you you'll be as handsome as I am and so brilliant and with muscular arms. Do those 10,000 steps and drink all the Yakult 1000. We got a question here from Rob, who says, good day, my dear gentlemen. Having been back in the UK for nearly 2 years now after living in Spain for 15, I think I'm finally settling down again into some semblance of a routine, and this includes the obligatory weekends away and day trips around the UK. Recently, we went to Scarborough for the first time for the day and had a lovely time as it was sunny. That got me thinking... are there smaller seaside town resorts built around domestic tourism in Japan? Towns or cities that can offer seafront arcades and amusement? Basically, is there a Japanese equivalent to Whitby or Skegness? Hugs and kisses from Rob. That's a good question. Like, Japan... seaside towns in Japan are very different. I feel like we do...
Maybe fishing towns, aren't they? Like, you're either a fishing town or you're a, like,
They just... people don't really splash around in the sea much in Japan. I think because they're just afraid of all the big, silly jellyfish around. there's some nice areas like Enoshima, that kind of area. Like, Kamakura has a nice beach and whatnot, but they don't really do seafronts like we do in the UK. Like, we do it better.
No.
It's the one thing we get better than Japan.
It better.
You know, you go down Brighton, it's quite a cool vibe. Bournemouth or, you know, Whitstable in Kent. Like, we do a good job of it. Here, they don't. And I don't know why. Time to bring some coin amusement arcades
some
to
coin.
Japan. Disappointed with
we
that.
We did, went down to Wakayama a couple of beaches down there. And they were pretty nice. But again, you're right, they don't do many of them like that.
I mean, there's nice beaches in Japan, don't get me wrong, but unfortunately there's a lot of concrete. They concreted up like 80% of Japan's coastline. Like, on the surface it's for tsunami protection and whatnot, but on the other surface it's mainly just government corruption gone wrong. It's a shame. It's a shame, but Japan does have a lovely coastline.
Shirahama Beach, that's a nice little sort of resorty town. It's got nice little facilities and stuff. That's nice and sleepy and tucked out of the way. So yeah, pick up a car or in Osaka or Kyoto and drive down. That's my recommendation if you can.
Absolutely. We got one last question from Nikki, who says, "Hello, presentable Chris and charismatic... sorry, presentable Pete and charismatic Chris. I'm a Slovak American, currently residing in Denmark. Long-time podcast listener. I've been able to listen and live vicariously through your lens and microphone for the last few years. I'm very excited to experience Japan for the first time this September." Wonderful, wonderful stuff. I have a question, though, about hostel culture in Japan. Is there a noticeable difference between hostels in Europe versus Japan? I find in Europe it's a bit of a gamble. And in terms of the culture, the atmosphere, the cleanliness, but Is it more standardised in Japan? Should I just stick with capsule hotels? Thank you very much. Wish you a wonderful week. Take care, Nikki. I did kind of cover this in a video just last week, actually, which is maybe why Nikki's brought this up in the first place. But the hostels in Japan are, for the most part, good. But, like, always do your research. You can find some really bad ones. I in the most recent video, How Expensive is Japan? I found this really cheap hostel that was like a joke price of $15 for a double bed in your room. And then the door lock was broken and it was held together with sellotape.
Right.
It was fucking sellotape, like masking tape on the door lock to try and keep the door shut. And the kitchen looked like it had like just fucking cholera all over it. It was so dirty. Right. So, but there's some really nice hostels, particularly in Asakusa. So,
In New York, that would be £300. In New York, that experience would be £300 minimum.
But, like, yeah, there's some good hostels in Asakusa. Just do your homework on booking.com or whatever, and or Hostel World is quite a good one, and check out the reviews. But I think, generally, they are going to be good. I've stayed a lot and always had some great experiences. But it's more about who stays there in the room with you, right, and who you end up with, more than the hostel itself. So hope you end up in a good dorm. That's all I'll say. Lots of dorms as well. You can choose like women only or men only. So maybe take that into consideration as well, Nikki. But have a very good time in Japan. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. I'll be back later in the week. So Mr. B Donaldson, what's going on with me, Pete? That's what happens when the Tully's coffee runs out. But for now, guys, have yourselves a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Yakult in hand. Yakult 1000. 20 billion
it's a curvy
bacteria
bottle.
Cultures.
It's like that Virgin Cork that came out in the 90s with the Pammy bottle. It's like a sexy Yakult. Disgusting.
Get it down here. Right. Drink it.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.